for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. All right, Drew.
There we go.
What's up there, buddy?
Hey.
Looking good.
Got some energy, Adam. That's
Man,
good.
It's raining out there.
It sure is.
It doesn't slow me down.
No.
That's the whole thing about me.
Yeah.
I just drive the same speed.
Yeah. You drive fast, but you're already your engine's barely going in your soul.
My soul is drowning.
Yes. Soul's
but I'm hydroplaning down the road.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you want to hear comedy? You know how the guys over at the, I got some kind of deal. I don't know what happened. Something happened where I met some guy from like Car and Driver magazine, although it could be Road and Track, and I'm calling it Car and Driver. And you know, they get upset.
Yes.
They get the same upset, same way chicks named Susan get upset when you call them Suzanne and vice versa. But to you, it's like, who the hell knows and who cares? And why are you naming yourself something so close to something else?
All right.
Yeah, well, Drew's wife's name is Susan, and she gets pissed. That's why Drew's doing that, and she's listening.
My
whole thing is...
It's just that you're talking about dire, you know, competitors.
I know, but who knows? You shouldn't have done bop and bop if you didn't want the competition.
Okay.
Anyway, let's just say Road and Track.
Yeah.
So I know a guy over there, so he gets me cars, okay? And it's funny because... He gets me the world's most obnoxious cars.
He's got that huge Denali.
Oh, no, the Denali, that's something else.
Oh, people are always getting you cars.
That's just driving around for 3 months and trying not to destroy it, although I've been trying. Yeah. That's why I'm driving like a maniac.
What happened there?
Not only is it... Listen, all you jackoffs, with your walking up to the fender where I scraped it up against the guardrail there and seeing a little paint on the fender. Hey, what's this? What happened here? I hit a leprechaun, you a-holes. What happened here? What the fuck? Drew, don't get me going with that.
All right. Back to the
Denali. But I'm just saying, listen, everybody.
Yeah, but still.
Okay, we're going back to the cars. But here's all I'm saying. Don't walk up to anyone's car, look at a scratch in the fender, and say, what happened here? Go ahead and do the collision math. Let's say they drove off a bridge into a mire and plunged 18 stories, or might they have scraped it on some garbage cans? Oh, what happened here? Well, I'll tell you what happened here.
Now, what difference does it make to you?
Somewhere between an accident and nothing. That's what happened.
Yeah.
A-holes. All this is just, it's just pointing it out. It's just everybody. Yeah! Idiots. All right, anyway, that's all anyone can say to me is what happened here. And you want to know the sad thing?
Mm.
I'm driving around a car that someone gave me for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's got, I scraped it up against this post. It's got like some blue paint on the side of the bumper. And by the way, it's not even a dent or anything. It's just like, you know, blue paint scraped on there. I was rubbing it out on Saturday to shut everyone up. Like, I don't care. I'm just tired of answering questions. Hey, what happened? Ugh. Why don't I just go to people like scar on their forehead, hair lip,
what happened
big
here?
Flared nostrils? Hey, what happened here? head went through a windshield.
Whoa!
I was attacked by an escaped mental patient. He hit me with a Schlitz bottle.
So Chris McDonald's our guest tonight.
Oh, shut up, Drew. He's not even here. Now listen to me.
I wanted to tell a story before he got here.
About him?
Yeah. But go ahead. I was going to say that
I wasn't done with my car story.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
But I hadn't gotten started either. Slide in your Chris McDonald.
All right. The story was...
People don't know who Chris McDonald is.
Well, that's...
But boy, if you saw him, you would know who he is.
You know his face. And he was in Happy Gilmore. Everyone knows the role he played in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just highlighted all the movies the guy was in. He was in every movie.
Yeah.
Every movie.
There's 97 films.
Yeah, but
Wild Orchid.
Here's an interest. Wild Orchid,
Wild Orchid Two.
Here's the thing. It says here, he has had two movies open on the same weekend 6 times.
Wow.
Do you understand what to do that 6 times? I mean, it's having a career where you have two. You know, Adam Sandler hasn't had two movies open on the same weekend 6 times. Jesus Christ, Drew, read... Oh, no, don't read those movies. You'll screw it up. You'll pick the bad ones.
That's right.
because you don't know. And then you'll go.
Anyway, when I used to do that morning TV show, that Mars Venus show, he was a guest, and I was very excited about it. And I ran to backstage, and I go, you know, I was really excited to meet you. My daughter loves that film you did with Whoopi Goldberg, where she's the housekeeper and the mom is dead.
Yeah,
and
he goes, Ray Liotta.
He goes, that was a good film, Ray Liotta.
That's right.
Yeah.
Drew, haven't you learned not to talk?
Yeah.
Let's practice. Ready?
Okay. And?
Go. Okay. I give you like a six. That's a good start. Okay, but you got to breathe. Give it not loudly. If people know you're there.
I do want to say something about Chris McDonald.
Go ahead.
He was great as Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore. He was awesome in that.
Yeah.
That's where people probably know him.
Yeah.
He's an SLC punk. Some of our older listeners may know that one. Grumpy Old Men, Perfect Storm, Terminal Velocity, Quiz Show. Happy Gilmore's, you know, Celtic Pride.
And he was in...
Flubber, Dirty Work.
Was it Law and Order?
And listen, I'm... Oh, yeah. I'm just picking the movies, and I'm going about every 12th movie and then picking one you kids may know. But there's 1,000...
Yep.
Requiem for a Dream, Grease 2. I mean, I don't even know how do you physically shoot 150 movies in 14 years?
Yeah.
Like, you must have to just be... Must actually be shooting like 8 movies simultaneously. Well, anyway, he's off to the old address there, Anderson. So if you're a big fan, you may you may want to say hi to him. Oh, Knight Rider. Ooh. 10-Wheel Trouble. Wow, he's a Knight Rider. And Hunter. And Matlock. What is he, like 170 years old? Empty Nest. What's the catch with Cheers? Everything ever made. True. He must have been. He must have co-hosted on Loveline for at least 2 seasons.
He must have.
All right. Don't give me that. You're going to get into trouble.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Let's try the not talking again. Ready? Go. Now I can hear you breathe.
Too much? Oh, but you told me to breathe.
I want you to breathe, but I can't. It can't sound labored.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're, you know, giving birth.
Okay.
All right. Let's try it again. Drew's practicing not talking. Ready and non-action. Yeah, that's good. Try to sleep. Try to slow the breathing. Try to slow the pulse. You're drifting away. You're on a mattress in the ocean. But it's beautiful. It's calm seas. You're drifting. You never felt warmer.
Moon with a face on it, smiling.
There's a smile. And there's a kid fishing off it. It's a crescent moon. All right, producer Ann is here. And forget about Christopher McDonald. Where's my coffee? That's the big thing. Oh, she's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's mad because I gave her a little speech about files. We got no coffee. We got no guests.
Files? Files. No.
Don't get in there. Right. Let's get going. All right, here we go. You ready? Let me tell you the car they gave me today. The guy from Car and Driver. Great guy named Alan. He wrangles me these cars. They give them to me for 1 week. I drive around for a week, and then I report to him on the... I go on his radio show and tell him how they were. He gets me novelty cars, essentially.
Did that SL55 for a while.
That was a bad place to start.
Yeah.
Because it started with $150,000 supercharged Mercedes and have been heading down ever since. Now I've got a shopping cart with a moped engine on it. No, nobody gets me now. Hmm. Now, I want you to think, close your eyes and picture the worst car you could ever drive in the rain. And don't think convertible, because I know you're going to want to think convertible. Here's the car that shows up at my house today for me to drive today. It is the Dodge RT truck. This is the sport truck with the Viper engine in it.
Whoa.
This is the 8.5-liter, 500 horsepower... 500 pounds, foot-pounds of torque, V10 truck with the Viper engine and the Hurst, I guess it's a 6-speed in it. Here's the point. On the driest of conditions, you could not drive this thing without breaking the tires loose. You know what I mean? It's just gobs of torque, mammoth torque.
Wow.
I mean, it's a 500-horsepower Viper engine in it. This, I would be off the road in 1 second in this car. I shot it. I better wait till it stops raining.
Oh, see,
I drive.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here.
You'd be off the road.
I'd be in, well, whatever the freeway equivalent of Davy Jones' locker is. That's where I would be. Do they have one? Do they have one? Where's the land version of Davy Jones' locker? The ground?
I think it'd be
6 feet under?
Pylon.
Yeah, I would. This is. First off,
the Caltrans pylon.
This is the most obnoxious vehicle ever produced. And first off, the timing couldn't be better because, A, it's raining cats and dogs out here, and, B, gas prices have never been higher.
Yeah.
This essentially is why the terrorists hate us, this truck. This is a truck that gets 8 miles to the gallon, that has no towing capacity or anything, has no bed in it, has like a spoiler where the bed is, and it has a Viper engine in it. It's a $60,000 truck that doesn't carry anything.
Nice.
It's the most obnoxious vehicle.
Does it have the roof that goes down?
It's the huge, no, just have the mammoth hood scoop. Oh, it's a Viper. It's got a Viper hood on. It's the most obnoxious vehicle ever produced. Chris.
You look good in it.
Punch up the Dodge RT Viper truck. And, Drew, you see this. There's no. And then you tell me if there's a more obnoxious or worse a rain vehicle ever produced. Martha?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, my question is it true you're not supposed to have a passenger unless you're sexually active, and if you're a virgin, you're not supposed to have it at all? And my question comes because I'm entering Job Corps, and that's like a mandatory thing. If you don't go through the whole medical process thoroughly, like the whole thing they have, you just won't get accepted at all.
Job Corps, by the way, for people that don't know, is sort of prison with a shovel. It's like, it's kind of prison. Here's what Job
Corps
is.
Military prison.
Job Corps is, look, if you don't go to Job Corps, you're going to juvie. Mm. That's kind of what it is. It's really, I don't think I've ever said this. It's a notch below junior college.
Oh yeah.
But you're actually doing something, so it transcends junior college.
Oh, it
goes above it.
Wow.
Yeah, because you actually do something, whereas in junior college you just sit there, score weed sometimes. So Martha, why do you have to go to Job Corps? What went wrong with your life?
What went wrong? Well, you know, I was absent a lot and never really went to school.
Yeah.
Credits behind. Yeah, I know.
It's juvie with a shovel.
Well, I guess.
All right, well, what are you going to... But look, this is a good thing, Martha, because it's like, you're not cut out for school. Fine, I wasn't cut out for school either. Good, learn something.
It's a window of opportunity.
That's right. No, that's smart. What are you going to learn?
It's clerical work and computer...
good. Look.
Where do you go?
Hello?
Where do you go to do this?
Right here in L.A.
So you don't have to travel or anything.
All right, and so Drew, this I know you want to talk about passwords. This is look, if you're a horrible student,
this is a
good
thing.
You need a skill.
Yeah,
you need to work a computer or weld a pipe.
No, I'm an okay student. I can get better. I'm pretty.
All right, you can, but you're clearly not.
You're out of school.
Learn
now.
Clerical skills in the computer and join the job market.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right, baby. I like your style.
I'm on my way.
I like you. No, you're going places.
That's what Adam's saying. It's a good thing, not a bad thing.
I like you.
But they're requiring you to have a pap smear. And where have you heard that you're not supposed to get one if you're a virgin?
The vagina.
Okay. My mom and my friend, which is pregnant at the time.
Well, there actually has been some literature recently that suggests it may not be. In years past, we'd say, 18 pap smear, you've got to have one.
Yeah.
But if you are not sexually active, a lot of doctors would agree that you don't have to have it at 18. And whether or not you ever have to have one is sort of, if you were not sexually active, I think most people would say you should.
Well, at a certain point, you just get to a certain age.
Well, it's mostly the fact now that most, if not all, cervical cancers are really thought now to be the result of the wart virus. And so if you've not been sexually active, that's sort of the kind of way things are going.
But what if you're 30 and you've never had any sexual contact?
I think you should. I think you absolutely should. But I think people might make a case that
what it becomes? It becomes like, I know I've been talking all morning or all evening about it, but it becomes like a car where it's like you never drove it, but at a certain point you got to change the oil just because it's 10 years old. Just change it. Right?
Eventually,
change that oil. Put it up on the rack.
Right.
But not like you would if you're whoring around. You'd do it every, 3,000 miles.
That's right. No.
Not you. Martha.
Yes?
You're a virgin? You're 18?
Yes, I am.
And you play a lot of hooky.
Those things don't go together.
Yeah,
usually.
You know what? I'm going to Big Gal. You Big Gal?
160?
Nah.
That's all right.
Yeah, 5'6". It's no flyweight, but it's not what we normally get on the show. Okay, good. You got your virginity. You're soon to get your clerical skills. And a mazel tov, as your people would say.
All right,
All right. Do we answer a question?
I think so. I don't know if she got it, but...
Drew, I know we want to talk to kids, but I'm going to talk about kids right now when I say this. Right. I really think this country, and people like you especially, mm-hmm. need to shift the priorities for all these years, this sort of lie of college. Everyone's going to college. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, if you're not going to college, that's the goal. Well, if only, and especially when you're talking about certain cities and certain populations of certain cities, 20% of people going, if you're making, hey, it's this or nothing,
yeah.
and then it's nothing for 80% of the people, not a great strategy, is it?
That's not at all.
I mean, it's like saying everyone should own a home, so we'll not have to do any affordable apartment housing or anything like that. Well, if 80% of people live in apartments... We gotta get some apartments.
I think one of the sort of maybe naive or otherwise strategies is that if people go to college, you don't have to do job training. They're smart enough to figure stuff out on the job. Just go out there and do it. So yeah.
I'm just saying, at a certain age, you know, and I wish someone would have done this with me and my loser buddies. Is, hey, you're 16. You're clearly not college bound. Your parents don't have any money. Your grades suck. Your test scores suck. Whatever tests you take, you don't even take those. You cut half the time. You can barely read. You have no discipline. You're not going. You're going to work when you graduate in a year and a half. And doing what? Who knows?
You probably would have gone to that work corps.
Hell yeah,
yeah,
would have gone.
Okay.
I mean, I would have learned. I would have been a plumber or something, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we have that now. We have it.
Yeah, but kind of. It's not really push. It's like, go to college. And it's like, yeah, but I'm stupid, and I'm a horrible student, and I'm stupid and lazy. It doesn't matter. Go to college anyway. And magically, you graduate high school, and you don't have grades, and you're dumb, and you don't have any study skills or anything. It's like, oh, well, don't worry. Go to junior college. Go waste 6 years over there. And then what? How about you get realistic, and we just say, look, college isn't for everyone. Go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, plumbers make more than guys who graduate college anyway, at least with a 4-year degree.
Right.
Let's go get in some apprentice program.
True.
Dustin?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. I guess mild commitment problems.
Mm-hmm. Mild.
Mild. Well,
I would say my answer is you got to drop out of high school.
I did.
And you
got to
learn a trade.
Apprenticeship.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm actually going to Wyotech for the automotive trade.
Smart. Not smart, IQ smart, but just...
Smart move.
Yeah, shrewd. Not shrewd, smart shrewd, but...
Good move.
Good.
Yeah.
Not good. Good, but, you know, good bad, but...
Yeah.
Good.
Under the circumstances, good.
Good job, Dustin.
So, what's your question for us?
I think I'm, like, borderline, maybe, like, sex addict, because, like, I was going out with a girl, and it was, like, a pretty... decent long-term relationship, and then I like ended it due to mm-hmm. no real apparent reason that I can think of even to this day.
Just saw a shiny object.
I was having like I don't know, I guess withdrawal from her, so I just kind of went on a sex binge, and I just haven't been able to get off it. I'll be with like a chick for 2 weeks.
Quiet down. How do you go on a sex binge at 16? Like, I could have gone on like a Sunday binge. You know, maybe eat a lot of ice cream or something, or maybe a pizza or waffle binge. Although I probably couldn't have afforded it back then. But how do you go on a sex binge at 16? If I had a nickel for a time I announced I was about to embark on a sex binge at 16, I'd be a rich man. But how do you go on a sex binge at 16?
I don't know. I guess having the opportunity.
Yeah, how do you get that opportunity?
I don't know. I had a kind of a reputation at school to just kind of be an easy guy, and I wasn't.
Wait a second. I spread the word far and wide that I put out.
You're easy.
Ladies, line up, start blowing. I'm easy. I'll hold still for all of you.
Oh, my.
You don't even know I'm alive. Be like blowing up a raft. Just be there. I'm easy. got the word out. He's no prude.
Yeah.
So he's like, gets done banging some chick. Listen, tell your friends.
I'm easy.
Big D, Dustin.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm the easy man.
What was that?
Easy D, they call
me. Who are these women you're meeting?
Repeat that again.
Who are these women?
They got
meeting?
The flyer on the windshield of the parking lot there. Yeah,
just
they
know he's easy. Chicks from school, or
I thought you didn't go to school.
Dropped out of school.
Right, I dropped out like a month ago, January.
Yeah, hold on a second. What kind of idiot would drop out of school when the word was out that he was easy? Now you're going to go to mechanic school and the word's going to get out, and so I'm going to have a bunch of grease balls coming after you. Okay, look. I don't know what 16-year-old guy doesn't get laid as much as he possibly can, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm worried more about the drop out of school and you. I mean, first off, Dustin is 16. Sounds like he's
36. You know, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. What, he was an addict?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing any drugs?
No. I actually got off pot and acid to get a job. I got a full-time job working at... You know, it's not the greatest job at King Supers, but I'm doing that, and I just decided just not to start pot again.
Over King Super.
Sometimes, if you are an addict, the sexual behaviors can sort of replace the drive for the drug. So it's maybe sort of the natural history of marijuana.
But good times. Christopher McDonald is our guest tonight. It's not fit for man or beast out there, Drew. It really isn't. And I'll just chalk that up. Chris's tardiness to the weather. Chris and Drew go way back from the time. Ray thought he was Ray. Chris, I mean, Drew thought he was Ray Liotta.
That's right. That still was a good movie, though. I liked it.
They're worse actors people could think you were.
Yeah, well, there are, and I used to get, all the time, and it was my goal to not get him anymore. Was, hey, Joe Piscopo.
Oh yeah.
How you doing?
Piss. Yeah. You're 4 feet taller than he
Thank
is.
You. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never met Joe, and one day I will, and maybe he gets Chris McDonald. Who knows? So it's
fair
play. How
could you?
I don't know how you filmed all these films.
No, no. Yeah. Here's now what I want to know. Piscopo.
Yeah.
And you've both probably got the 7,000 at least between TV and movies and TV movies and series and stuff. How could you guys have never crossed paths? I mean, you've worked on everything that's ever been produced.
Every other thing, or else there's fines. You know, people don't want to pay the fines, so they hire me. No,
Jeremy Piven. between Chris and Jeremy Piven, they've done everything that's ever been thought of.
Yeah, it's true.
They really have.
Not that much. It's, you know, perception is good, and I think that's probably a good thing. And they say, oh, yeah, Chris McDonald, he doesn't have everything. But at the same time, I'm out there struggling, trying to get the next thing, and I got a great gig right now. God, I'm happy. The reason I'm late tonight, and apologies to all, is that I was lensing in the valley, in the rain, mind you.
You were whatting?
Lensing. Filming.
Lensing.
Is this cracking up?
This is cracking up, yeah. And it was very, very funny tonight. We had this big scene. We had to, you know, we're doing paintballs, and I just go a little, I have my
Vietnam
top of the world, and I start blowing everybody apart and killing kids and trees and stuff. It's very
nice.
Funny.
The show premieres Tuesday, March 8th.
March 9th, actually. Is that?
Well, now Ann just scratched out
the window. It's a week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow is right.
Is the
tomorrow's ninth. The second, so the week would be the ninth. Right?
Wow. Yeah.
There you go.
Ban 1,000. that's 1 week.
I was told the ninth initially.
Yeah, it was the ninth, and it's initially the ninth after.
It is the ninth.
The fabulous and watchable, finalists of American Idol, and then we're on Mondays after that 70s show at 8:30.
What's it about, the show?
The show's about this very, very wealthy Beverly Hills family. With three kids, and everything seems great and fine and wonderful, and then they invite this kid to come and live with them from the local college, who is a psychiatry major. And he comes to look at our youngest, who's a little bit off. You know, he's got we got problems, and you know, we think he's a little off. And the kid says, yeah, it's great, he'll get extra credit. He comes to live with our fabulous guest out, and he finds out that the kid's fine, everybody else in the family's out of their minds.
Oh my.
So we're really we get to like really push the envelope here. It's very funny.
Now Molly Shannon is going to be your wife, I'm guessing.
Yes, good call there.
And Jason
yeah.
Schwartzman, it would also be your wife? Or?
I married him like this just for the first season.
And then after
it's wacky. No, he's the kid that comes over from college, and he lives in our guest house. And his best friend David Walton is playing Liam, and he's the friend. Man, you got it made here. This place is amazing. Don't ever cure these people.
And what would it be in the vein of? If you could,
all right. Imagine the Addams Family without the real craziness of without Lurch. So imagine a seemingly cool looking family, but behind closed doors, you know, it's like, oh my God,
the college
who are these
kid is like Marilyn.
Exactly. Oh, the poor thing.
No, yeah, right. I always love that. All right, we're gonna take ourselves a little bit of a break. Christopher McDonald's here tonight. It's been in. Everything ever produced and stuff hasn't even been thought of yet. He's actually in. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher McDonald is our guest tonight. Cracking Up is the name of the new series, which is out Tuesday. Possibly Monday, too. There's a little controversy. But it will be Tuesdays at 9:30 on Fox. And
8:30. Oh, no, I don't know. I mean,
it start on Tuesday and become Mondays.
Exactly. It starts on Tuesday, becomes Monday.
Yes.
Is it 8:30?
And then there's a test afterwards.
Here it says 9:30.
And it's after
just
American
watch,
Idol.
Just watch American Idol, and then we're on right after that.
Right. And then let me say this. After you're done watching Cracking Up, you switch over to Comedy Central and you watch Crank Yankers, which
exactly.
Almost the same thing, because that's the delightful puppet show Tuesday nights on Comedy Central, 10:30.
That's too funny, that show.
You like that show?
That makes me laugh.
Good. It's our show.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Amy, who's 15 years of age. Amy?
Oh, hi.
What's happening?
Well, my boyfriend and I, we've been going out for about 5 months, and we finally decided that we wanted to have sex for the first time. And we tried to do it like 2 days ago, and it just wouldn't fit. So
how old is your boyfriend?
He's 15, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your question?
Well, I want to know how I can get it to work without,
This is basically your body saying it may not be ready for this. It's okay. Usually actually nervousness and anxiety that creates that kind of problem.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe it's just you guys are pushing along too fast here, huh, Amy?
No.
I didn't hear you. What?
You're moving these things along too quickly.
Yeah. It could have been. No.
What?
Sometimes guys are confused. They go different directions, different places. No?
No.
Okay. And
hey, Amy, did it kind of fit or just not?
It kind of fit, but I don't really know how to explain it.
It hurt.
Yeah. But I have another question.
Right.
Is it true that when you become sexually active, you have to get like something stuck up you, like a Q-tip or something? That's what I heard. Like when you become sexually active.
No. Well, if you're being sexually active with me, you'll get a Q-tip.
The equivalent.
No, it's like that's a Q-tip.
Equivalent of a Q-tip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fleshy Q-tip.
Yeah,
that's what I call it.
No, Amy, there's no.
Oh, come on, you have at least two Q-tips.
Just relax. You're fine.
It's one and a half. I mean, it's one at once with the extra cotton on the end.
We'll be fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
No, Amy, relax. This is all a sign that you shouldn't be doing this.
Wait 2 years, Amy.
Yeah, at least 2 years.
Yes.
Okay.
It's, there's a magic genie that comes in your bedroom at night.
It's a magic gene that finally turns on in your head.
Do you think it would be easier if you used a condom or what?
Say that again? What?
Do you think it would be easier?
No, No. This is about your readiness for all this and your anxiety.
Okay, so how long should I wait, do you know?
2 years.
2 years. 2 years.
5 years.
8 years.
9 years. Add all those numbers up.
Do you marry?
Okay.
Yeah, you're not ready. Slow down.
Okay.
What's the big hurry?
Well, I don't know.
Your pressure.
When are you going to be 16, by the way?
In May.
Okay. May what?
May 15th.
Ah.
Yeah.
I thought that was my birthday.
The Ides of May. That's nice.
You want to know what's, like I said, you want to know how you're self-absorbed and conceited? I will actually, when I watch Entertainment Tonight, they'll go, Celebrity Birthday's coming up. It's March. My birthday's at the end of May. I'm thinking, please say me. Please say Adam Carolla. Now, first off, they wouldn't say it on my birthday.
Right.
But
certainly not on,
maybe
your, birthday.
Not on your birthday.
Certainly not 3 months from my birthday.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
No other human beings do that? I go, come on, give it. Give me some sugar. Come on, Adam. Come on, Adam. It's like trying to win. It's trying to get lotto numbers when you didn't buy a ticket. Like, oh, please, let me be the winning lotto ticket. I don't even have the ticket. Please mention my birthday. Here's my fantasy. Where they go, celebrity birthdays, Christopher McDonald, Dr. Drew, and Adam Carolla, even though it's not his birthday, his birthday's coming up in a mere 66 days. So keep that in mind. And, of course, when it is actually his birthday, we'll be counting down.
We just want to
every celebrity
send him
birthday.
Our
only 43 days left.
We'll give all the birthdays out, and then at the end we'll tack on the day count to Adam Carolla's birthday. That's my fantasy. Please say my birthday.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
I got to get to Pat O'Brien. All right. They never do their own, by the way, shouldn't they? I would insist on doing my own. That'd be the only celebrity birthday.
And you'd insist on a countdown.
Once a year, I would do celebrity birthdays. Mwah. All right. She got to slow it down. Now, here's what I'm saying. I know you guys have daughters, so now you want to hold out. But, I mean, would you agree with me that there's a pretty good difference between 15 and 16
Massive.
On the girl's permanent record.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Not just her record, but her brain is
situated. Well, the permanent record for her and for others.
Yeah.
Later on, you know, she's married, she's got a family, she's whatever, you get into that conversation, once you lose your virginity. 16 is sort of like, meh, okay. 15,
yeah.
The guy goes,
Whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah. Kind of loose.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah.
Boy, he
not
had
good.
Quite a run for
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, technically...
interestingly, it's an interesting instinct, because the fact is that the brain evolves quite a bit from 15 to 16, and the neurological and cognitive development is different at 16 than 15.
For me, it's about driving. You know, people with a license should be getting laid.
Okay.
And people without a license got no business getting laid.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I see.
It's just... She's gonna be 16 in a month and a half.
Yes,
that
was in the journals.
Just hold off.
That was in the journals. Yes, yes. People, in fact, to quote, people aren't driving have no business getting heavy.
You got a license now.
Yeah, okay.
Celebrity birthday's coming up, Adam Carolla. Only 144 more days until Adam Carolla's birthday.
Emma.
Hi.
Emma, you're 23. What's up?
Actually, I talked to you guys like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Around then.
And?
I guess this was...
Three weeks ago?
Yeah. I think it was around then. 3-4 weeks ago, maybe?
Right. I'm having a flashback.
That would have been 72 days to Adam Carolla's birthday.
Yeah, something like that.
And yeah, you...
Do the math.
You have a female roommate you were going to...
Yes.
You
were going to
get together? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know if you guys remember...
I don't remember at all.
You don't.
That
but,
was a good.
The guy who answered the phone did.
I remember, and I remember in my recollection is we told you not to do it.
Well, what did she do? I don't remember.
We drank a little too much, and we ended up messing around, fooling around.
Best friend, female girlfriend.
Best friend for like 9 years. Yeah.
Okay.
And hooked up.
All right.
Had sex. Roommates.
And I talked to you guys for quite a while, and Adam basically said everything would be okay because there's no deep-rooted feelings and blah, 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 and not to really worry about it. But we hadn't spoken. Me and my best friend hadn't spoken in a couple of days because we had different schedules, you know?
Right. Hold on.
Yeah, it's
just a sidebar. I really hope I didn't use the phrase deep-rooted.
I doubt you did.
Thank you.
So, Emma, so now it's weird, right?
So, but anyways... When I did end up talking to her about it, and I was kind of thinking everything would be okay, things didn't really go the way that I planned with it. And, God, she said that she thinks that because we've been friends for so long and that this did happen between us, that she thinks that there's more to it.
All right, so look, she's into you and you're not into her.
Well, yeah, but we're best friends.
Yeah, all right.
But she says that she thinks that... Well, because I haven't been with a guy in like a year.
Yeah.
And she thinks that I'm kind of like withholding feelings.
What is your
she
question?
She knows.
All right. Hey, Emma, you must be a hot chick. Because only hot chicks amble on this long and don't think they're boring. You definitely got that hot chick thing where it's like, you know, here's the problem with hot chicks. Society doesn't go, hey, shut up. Jesus Christ, I'm trying to watch a game. They, you know all society does with hot chicks?
Uh-huh.
Ooh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
And then anyway, I was thinking about going down to my roommate. Uh-huh. Hold on. Zip. You know, no one ever go, yeah. Let's get it. Hey, hey. Let's pace it up now. Come on. I'm going to hit you with the flashlight. That means wrap it up. No, it's like it's a hot chicks. They can't edit themselves. You know what they're like? Hot chicks are like, they're like dictators in Banana Republics.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, Fidel Castro just gets up there. He talks for 9 hours straight about when he was a boy. You should play baseball. There was like, oh, God damn, I want to kill myself. Yes. But no one's like, hey.
Oh, man.
Fidel. Old man. Let's go. Let's pick it up. I got a life to lead out here. No, no one does it. Hot chicks and leaders from Banana Republic are the only people that no one goes, let's pace it up, Pops. Emma's got to be hot. Now, I know this. Emma, you got to be hot.
Well, yes.
Or the president of Banana. Yes. Or the, or,
which is it?
Costa Rica president.
What's that?
I said, but that doesn't have anything to do with the situation, though.
So what is the question?
You are hot, yes?
Yes.
Shocking.
What is the question?
The question is, well, my roommate, sorry, I have a bit of a cold. I'm getting a dry throat here.
We all care.
My roommate thinks that there's a lot more to the situation, and we live together, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Emma, we got all that. What can we do to help?
I'm just saying, do you think that I should reconsider, even though that I don't necessarily agree with the way that...
No, you're going to lead her on. No more. Like, I don't know. Leave us alone. She called us 3 weeks ago, wanted to know if she should do something with this chick. Yes, told her no, and then she went ahead and did it. Now she's calling us again, wanting to know what about reconsidering.
Total chaos. Emma, are you a recovering person? Are you trying to be a recovering person?
I'm sorry.
Emma, you trying to? Were you a drug addict at one time? Or are you a drug addict?
No.
Adam, are you a drug addict?
I'm sorry.
You're not in any kind of recovery.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine, Doctor.
Well, stop acting like you're high then. You're going to screw up with this chick.
I think
she has feelings.
Yeah,
for you.
You're going to have to get out of this. I think really you're going to have to reestablish boundaries. You got to move out. You got to establish a relationship again on a friendship
move
basis.
Move in with Christopher.
Yeah, move in with Christopher.
Chick.
Yeah.
Just go over there.
Arrowhead. Perfect.
Move up there, Arrowhead. Get lost. You need some fresh air. You need some mountain air. Hey, Drew, what happened in the old days when the doctor tell you to get some air?
I know. Or smoke cigarettes.
That'd be a good day. How about that? You know what you need to relax with some non-filtered cigarettes up in the mountains where the air's thin. Go up to Mile High and smoke some Lucky Strikes.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great doctor. More doctors recommend Lucky Strikes than any other filterless cigarette. What the hell were you guys thinking back then? Your dad's a doctor. What was he doing? I would have liked to be a doctor back then.
Yeah.
That's a good gig. I've seen those Westerns.
Make everybody feel
good.
They're
like, guy gets shot and comes in, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Okay. Here's some scotch.
Yeah.
Here's scotch. Here's a rag.
That would have been
nice. Soaked it in whiskey.
And
suck
then,
on
hey,
it.
Hey, here's these cigarettes. That make you feel good. Go ahead, enjoy.
Here's some whiskey. Here's some cigarettes. Yeah. Go up to the mountains. Get drunk. Smoke your brains out. There's nothing we can do. Boy, remember when booze was like medicine?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, have a shot and go relax.
Oh, yeah, that's all they had. That and laudanum.
I would have been a good gig, that doctor. You don't have to memorize all those stupid drugs and all the samples and all. It's like, just
whiskey.
Look, here's some booze.
Yeah, right. Hey, there's no insurance
some
company telling
butts.
You what to do.
Why don't you take some red meat with you, too? And hit the road. All right, Christopher McDonald is here tonight. Cracking Up, which is something he's evidently good at, is going to premiere next week. Just here's what you do. You watch American Idol, and then that's it. You keep it on, and Christopher pops up at a certain point.
Show's very funny. Now, Mike White, you know, Mike White did the, you know, did that whole, like, School of Rock thing.
Oh.
Very funny guy. He was actually the roommate, too.
Ned. Oh, really?
Yeah, he's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he also did, the Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a very funny guy. And this is his baby. This is his vision of the sickness of the American thing.
Wow.
He's really trying to push the envelope. He's ours, a computer and head writer, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Man wears many hats.
He does.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher McDonald is our guest tonight. We had him on Loveline, the TV show. Now I remember.
Oh, it's coming back.
We got to it. He thought he was on the man show. I thought we'd never met before. Somewhere we met in the middle, and it all came back to us. Yes?
Yes.
All right. And, hey, you were one of our favorite guests on that show, and that's why we had to have you back.
Thanks so much.
7 years later.
Just like clockwork.
Cracking Up is the name of the new show. It is on Fox. It is going to be 9:30 Tuesday night and Wednesday. Two episodes. This is my final story.
And what is it? Standard night's going to be Tuesday.
Standard night's going to be Monday at 8:30.
Okay.
7:30 Central.
But they're going to give it a nice launch after American Idol.
Okay, here it is. Here, yeah.
All right. Right after the 70, that 70s show.
We got it all worked out.
Yes.
Denise?
Yeah?
How old are you?
25.
All right. What's up?
Huh?
What's your question?
Actually, I just need to get some advice.
All right.
Okay, well, I have a pattern of being with guys that need to be fixed in some way or another.
Right.
And so I'm thinking that that's like some inner issue that I have that needs to be fixed. Okay. And I don't want to follow that pattern anymore.
All right. So get some treatment.
Yes?
Yeah, yeah, so get some treatment. That's a good idea.
Okay, like what, though?
You got to get a little therapy. Where's your dad? For what?
He's at home.
Do you like him?
My dad?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I love him.
It's always a long night.
What?
I mean, I love those. This is if you could take my radio career and just sum it down into just a quick exchange, this is what it would be. Where's your dad? He's at home. Do you love him? My dad? That would be. That's it. At my funeral. That's what's going to be playing.
On a big it. Huh on your tombstone.
Huh? Denise?
Huh? Yeah. What?
You do love your dad.
Huh? Of course.
And your dad didn't cheat on your mom or step out or anything like that?
Not at all.
Or drink.
All right. It wasn't a boozer.
No, he's a recovering alcoholic.
Okay, but he's not a drinker.
not a boozer at all.
But he's a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Well, that's where that comes from. How about a little Al-Anon?
Are you serious? It has to do with my dad?
Absolutely.
How about some Al-Anon?
This kind of caretaking and fixing is real typical of codependency.
Yeah.
And an Al-Anon sponsor and some 12-step yourself may go a long way to improving that. If not, then you got to find yourself an individual therapist and do
that
some work.
Nuts.
It's not nuts. It's it's whatever happened when you were a lot younger that sort of set your notion of yourself in relation to important people in your life, and
even though he's been sober since I was young,
it's obviously the brain is sort of forming in the earlier years. That's when they had these imprints are left behind.
Yeah,
and certainly a lot better that he's in recovery now.
I don't think all that much forming went on with Denise. I'm going to defend you. I'm defending you here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, but listen, sweetie P.
Yeah.
How old were you when your dad stopped drinking?
Like 13.
Oh, no. That's old.
Yeah.
That's old in brain years.
If it were 4, it would have been old.
Even if it were 4, but if you said 4, it could be a little, 13, that's a big deal. Because, by the way, anything after about 12 or 13 doesn't really matter anyway.
It's all set.
He can kill you and have sex with you and be like,
can I interject something?
Sure.
You say it's crazy to go to a 12-step program like Al-Anon, but you say you want to break the pattern. You're calling for advice, and that's, like, great advice.
I meant it's crazy that it would. I didn't think it would have anything to do with my dad.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. I didn't mean not about that. I just
didn't mean crazy nutty, just crazy unusual.
Yeah, it's just... You know,
and look at the guys you've been trying to fix. I bet most of them had a substance problem.
One of them did, a really bad one.
All right. Well, good enough. A little Al-Anon, a little therapy. Long walks. Hey, what kind of music do you listen to?
Classical.
All different kinds.
Right, but all crappy. Listen to listen to some classical music. It'll make you smarter.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. I really mean it. Here's the whole thing. I go to my I'm building the house. I got to yell at these guys all the time. Stop listening to this crap. It clogs your brain with too much stuff. You're trying to do calculations. You got some guy screaming at you. Put on some classical and get your focus, everybody. Listen, I don't want to hit a heavy bag and listen to classical. I know where I'm at, Drew. I don't want to hit a heavy bag, and I don't want to hump. Well, maybe I do. Well, here's my point. Listen to some. Freeze up your mind a little bit. Sometimes when you're driving, you get to actually have a thought. Mm-hmm. You don't have stuff screaming at
Jazz
you all
that
the
way
time.
Too, though.
Jazz will work that way too. Yeah, listen to some music that just sort of lets you let your mind coast
a little
bit.
A little self care,
everybody. Took care of a little of that tonight, by the way. A little self care. That's right.
I gave that up for Lent.
Did you?
Smart. Yeah.
Is it
sacrifice? You know.
Sweet. Yeah. I'd do it, but it would make me. I'd be unbearable.
Oh my God!
Taking
please,
swings
dear
at Drew,
God in heaven, do not let him give that up for anything.
No,
let.
Christopher McDonald is our guest tonight. We're going to take a quick break. Cracking up. Name of the new show on Fox 9:30 coming up next week. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher McDonald is our guest tonight. He and him and Jeremy Piven have been in, and Ron Jeremy.
Covers all cinematic frontiers.
I'm just saying, I think Christopher has done more legitimate films than Ron has done porn.
Wow.
Ooh, that's what I was
saying.
Thank
you so much.
He's done over 2,600 films, over a 400-year career. Still averages to 9 movies a month. So he's really... He's really at a fever pace. And he's got a new TV show out called, it's coming out next week. It's called Cracking Up. It's at on Fox. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday. It's every night on Fox. Just watch American Idol.
That's right.
And then after that, it's on.
It's the big push.
Yeah.
Watch America.
9:30.
Yeah.
I'm talking about American Idol for just one second. Got a couple things to say about that show. I don't understand why it's so compelling. Like, here's the whole thing. Simon is mildly amusing. Mildly. I mean, and just the fact that he cracks some nuts. He's never funny or witty. It's just kind of fun to watch him dress somebody down. But it's never done in an amazingly clever way. It's just he tells the person they have no business even thinking that they can sing, which is nice and uncomfortable, but it's not exactly laugh out loud funny.
No.
The other two, what's his name? What's her nose?
Paula
and Randy. Yeah. Nothing against them. They're dear friends. They're dear friends.
Dear.
Randy's dear to dear friend.
Dear. Sort of non-entities. I mean, really, when you just sort of break it down. Now I realize you need a straight man if you're going to have a comedian and all that kind of stuff, and you can't have three guys out there busting chops. But Paul and him, kind of non-entities, and then you get a little nut busting, and then the cavalcade of people that sort of can't sing.
By the way, I understand.
You start voting, you start following people, and all that. And
why is it compelling? Is the question, right? Why do people watch train wrecks? Why do people?
Yeah, I understand. Well, maybe you pick a favorite now that we're at the stage where this is the person you want.
Just different show.
For the first, 8 episodes, when there's just loser after loser getting up singing karaoke and Simon going, you got no business being in this business. Is that really just sitting there drinking a Diet Coke on a folding table? Is that like super compelling
television?
My kids
watch that. My kids watch that.
Yeah.
You guys watch it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they watch it. They like to see the bad ones.
Yeah. This is what it gets me.
Go out
what?
To Dimples in Burbank. You want to see bad? That's bad.
What makes these people think they can get up and become an American Idol?
They don't.
I don't think they do. Who encourages them to go? Well, this is their shot. This is their 12 seconds of fame.
Some feel like if they're song, ultra bad, they'll get on TV. And so they just go do that.
All right. I just wonder if some of it is just sort of hype on hype and buzz on buzz. And
the reason
the kids watch is because they don't want to show up Wednesday and not have anything to talk about with the other kids. Mm-hmm. But it's just in terms of it just doesn't seem that clever or compelling at all. I'm not trying to be a snob. There's plenty of crap I like. I just watch it and I go, really? This is it? This is the big show?
But I feel that way of most all reality TV too.
Yeah, I know, but But Survivor's a really good
Survivor's
show.
Good.
I mean, it's well done.
That's the exception.
And,
right.
And the Great Race was, I think it was called The Great Race, yep. Where they raced around.
That was
whatever.
Interesting,
I mean,
yeah.
It was an interesting show. It was like, sort of well done.
Yeah.
But I know people who are just literally are compelled to watch The Bachelor or The
oh,
Bachelorette
really?
Or My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance.
Yeah. I get uncomfortable watching a guy like make out with the chick, and then the chick goes on the date with the next guy, and she's making out with him, and the guy's trying to like say to her, "Look, I need you to promise me you won't," and she's going, "Well, I gotta blow Dirk in about 20 minutes, so if we could wrap this up."
Just reminds us of our high school.
Maybe it does. It's just the whole thing is uncomfortable to me. And then they go meet. Oh, the part where they go meet the parents.
Yeah.
Oh.
I couldn't be more uncomfortable. It just, I don't know why. Maybe that feels good to people. Somewhere we decided that the eavesdropping on uncomfortable conversations with potential in-laws and watching guys devour goat intestine with their hands duct taped behind their back on Fear Factor. Somehow this is now a good thing.
I ate the most intestines.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, it's like, I'm physically like holding my hand up in front of the TV and running out of the room, holding my ears and stuff. Like it's stuff's too uncomfortable. Funny. All right. What are we doing here, Drew? Ready to rock? Who do you want to talk to?
No, Veronica.
Veronica? All right. Veronica?
Hey, guys.
You're 24?
I have a question about anesthesia.
All right.
Okay, I'm planning to do a breast lift tomorrow. I go and talk to my surgeon, and I'm really freaked out about what the effects are going to do to my body, because heart disease runs in my family, and I'm taking caffeine pills, and I just don't know if that's going to, you know, have a horrible effect on me.
Whoa, Veronica, you got a lot of information.
You're nutty,
questions.
Baby.
Yeah.
I'm not nutty.
Well, you're
Well, then you're stupid, so go with nutty.
You must have some sort of body dysmorphic problem, at least, if not an eating disorder.
Well,
right?
I got pregnant when I was 15, and I think getting pregnant just kind of interfered with the development of my breasts.
Hold on. Pregnant at 15? I'm going to say it's perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Good. Thought you were shocked.
And
did
pregnant
you
at 15.
See the pregnancy through?
Yes, I have my daughter. She's healthy, and I have, you know, I'm successful. I graduate from high school and everything.
Oh,
it's just now that.
But the caffeine pills.
Hold on.
Red flag.
The caffeine pills. That's what I'm sort of reacting to.
Yeah.
I think how bizarre that thinking is, that I'm taking caffeine pills, a stimulant that can accelerate heart disease and whatnot, and I'm worried about anesthesia. But I'm not going to stop taking the caffeine
pills.
Well,
the way she said she was taking the caffeine pills is sort of like she was doing it to prevent heart trouble.
Yeah, no, the caffeine pills have something to do with her body image stuff.
I'm trying to maintain my weight.
See? You have an eating disorder.
Well, I eat like once a day.
All right. Okay, so there's an eating problem, or at least there's a body image problem.
Yeah.
And now this whole idea of a breast lift, there's basically no such thing as a breast lift.
Well, I've gone around and around with this. As I study the breasts. That's my Moby Dick.
I know.
The elusive breast.
Yes, yes.
I mean, yeah. Going to get one day.
Nice.
I've talked to doctors about this. They do boob jobs.
Yes.
But then I was talking to one saying, oh, no, they do lifts. Marcel.
They used to.
Here's the thing about most plastic surgeons. They're so coked up all the time that they don't know what they're talking about. You talk to them one day, they don't even remember having the conversation because they're so busy. They're so busy doing coke and playing with their pinky ring. You know, they fiddle with their pinky ring and they do coke and you just go, You say,
Do you know for a fact that this is someone that will do a lift or they're going to do some implants?
Well, yeah, I've gotten information in the mail and they've, sent me papers explaining to me the actual procedure, and tomorrow I'm going to go and talk with him, and you know he's going to give me his input because I really don't want to get implants.
You're not getting the anesthesia tomorrow.
No. I'm just tomorrow. I'm going to go and talk to him to see if this is really the thing that I want to do.
Okay. Well, look. Hopefully, he's a reputable guy.
Yeah, just I worry about the idea of a breast lift.
Okay,
you may want to get other opinions.
You just talk to him, see what he has to say. I don't. Marcel said they did do it last time, but again, pretty coked up. Veronica, listen. You got bigger fish to fry than your saggy breasts.
Yeah, the anesthesia is for a 24-year-old is nothing.
Yes, you got.
But it has risk. People can die in anesthesia, but it's not going to be because you have coronary artery disease at 24.
Right.
That's
and by the way, what do you mean it runs in your family?
My dad had 7 bypasses a couple years back.
Was he a smoker?
So, and, you know, my grandparents have died of heart problems.
Was your dad a smoker?
Yeah, he was a big-time smoker.
All right, well, that's a different situation.
By the way, let me explain something to Christopher. When we get just a non-answer, that's usually yes.
Yeah, okay.
These are like kids. I just sort of hope you go away with you. Right. Was he a smoker? My grandparents. It's like you interrupted. How dare you inject logic into my sort of a dark fantasy? It's a chick eating a coronary. Oh, please.
But, Veronica, you
and
really...
And by the way, everyone's grandparents die of heart disease. Veronica?
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't smoke cigarettes and get off the caffeine pills and deal with this body dysmorphic problem you have. It's a much more serious
issue.
You got
to screw up your kid.
I don't think so.
I know so. Because mommy's a little nutty.
I'm not that nutty.
I know, but nutty enough to screw with the kid.
I do hair.
Okay, now that's nutty. You see? All right, so look.
Well,
your kid
you guys didn't help me out.
Look, here's what we told you. We told you start focusing on what we're interested in, which is the body dysmorphic thing, and not your heart disease.
And the heart and what I am telling...
I'm worried that I'm going to be having this two-hour-long surgery, and my heart's going to go into failure.
Veronica.
All right,
that is not going to happen.
Would you give your kid away and let someone say
thing? You didn't hear a thing I said. Your dad was
Christ.
A smoker who had heart disease. It may have nothing to do with heritable disorders, and it has nothing to do with a female at 24 who's a non-smoker. And if you actually want to do something for your heart, stop taking the caffeine pills. And that's not going to happen unless you deal with your body image problems. You got it?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah, good luck. Just, look, stop cranking out the kids. That's all. That's all I'm asking. And no one's going to do anything for themselves. Everyone's an idiot. They're so caught in their own drama. They're not going to move. You got a doctor yelling at her for 10 minutes. She comes exactly back to where she started with. Just stop screwing up the kids. That's all. Stop spitting out the kids, everybody. That's your legacy. Bunch of screwed up kids that I got to pay for. Just stop it. Just go do your hair. And let me tell you something about hairdressers. I think this is a syndrome that someone's got to look into. I call it aqua lung.
Really?
It's not a Jethro Tull CD. They suck up too much Aquanet and it makes them nuts. I think this happened to my sister. They suck up so much hairspray. I mean, you think about it. They do all day.
Yeah. A lot of chemicals.
They're just sitting in. Yeah. They're just a cloud of carbon just around their head. I think their brain gets deprived of oxygen, and it damages the small vessels that process a rational thought. And they just. And now here's the thing. Now hairdressers start off stupid. And everyone's like, hey, why are our boxers so dumb? Boxers are dumb because, A, they start dumb, and then they have someone beat the S out of their head for 20 years, and that's why they're dumb. But they're not like, it's not like these are the great minds of the world who then got into boxing. These are guys with ninth grade educations who then
endure a lot of head trauma. Exactly.
Yeah. Hairdressers start off dumb, and then they get the aqua brain. With the Aquanet, just a constant... True, please tell me. I'm on to something here. There's no smart hairdressers. You ever talk to a smart hairdresser?
Yeah.
No. Those are the ones who use gel. The ones who use the spray...
Okay, I'll give you that.
Their brains are rotted
out.
I almost had to stand up for mine because they save our lives. Every morning is like... Yeah. You know,
but they use gel. Those are gel.
I'm a geller.
It's the ozone from the spray.
We need to start doing a study running PET scans of hairdressers, and you will see. Like, I'll be there with a pointer stick. Do you see the dark? Do you see the dark? Okay. I'll have my laser pointer. You see this dark area here? That's the part the Aquanet has destroyed. That's the part of the brain that's used.
MDMA, yeah.
That's the caffeine pills. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Veronica, she's going to land on her feet, that kid. She's dynamite. Dynamite lady. Katie?
Me?
Yes.
Kate.
Yes.
Oh, Kate.
You're
What's
way
happening,
off,
Kate?
Way off. How dare you?
What's
yeah.
happening, baby doll?
I have a question, first of all, about birth control.
Alrighty.
And how long am I supposed to wait before I have sex?
One cycle.
After I get on it?
One packet.
A whole packet?
A whole packet.
Oh. Okay.
Best to wait.
Was that 30 days, right? 30 days.
Some people say the triphasic pills you get going right away, but...
Well, what about
the
that?
Safe, the
Well, easy for you. You're not horny.
The safest thing is to...
I mean, you are horny, but you got somewhere to put it. if I told you to wait 30 days? A man of your passion?
How dare you?
You would explode. Explode with passion.
Okay.
Drew's a passionate man, Kate.
And my second question was, what are the actual, like, effects of cocaine on your body? Like, what does it do to you?
Most of the damaging effect of cocaine is caused by constriction of blood vessels.
Okay.
And so the organs that have delicate small vessels like the kidney, brain, and heart, when those things constrict, well, really it's the kidney and brain. You can get strokes, you can get kidney failure.
Yeah.
And in the heart, where the blood has to be supplied very efficiently, when you cause constriction of blood vessels, the flow is restricted considerably, and you get heart attacks.
Yeah, it's not so bad for you, though, really, right?
So really, well, cocaine, the main issue with cocaine is surviving the use. If you survive the use, there's usually not a lot of chronic damage left.
Heroin, not bad, right?
Heroin, opiates are not bad for you. Yeah. They just cause horrible addiction.
That's crack? How's a crack work? Because you have to smoke
cocaine.
Crack.
Yeah, crack is just more addictive cocaine.
Yeah, but you have to smoke it. And that affects your lungs,
the lung issue is mostly that it can cause a vasculitis, or what's called an alveolitis, where the small little air sacs can become inflamed and break down and stuff.
Good thing I quit that.
It's
then.
Good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been almost an hour since Christopher's picked up the crack pipe. I don't know if you call it quit.
No, I put it down.
He stopped. He said he
put it down. Okay.
So a couple times aren't going to really hurt me?
Well, here's the thing. And really, this is the part that people don't factor in. The addiction part. That can really hurt you.
Right.
Okay.
That A and B, nowhere in what I said did I say that one time couldn't hurt you.
Well, you kind of did.
Did I? I said you don't know. I said you have to survive the use. And so each time you use it, there's a potential. You know, you hear cases, although I'm sure it's not the case, but, you know, Mr. So-and-so, you know, what was the
Len Bias.
Len Bias. He never tried cocaine before. He took one hit pow as hard
as I always believe that's just a bunch of spinning going
on
by Nancy Reagan and company. The idea that here's a guy, he was an athlete, his body was a temple, he did a half a rail of blow to celebrate thing, and pow. Goes into a coronary like the horse that has a heart attack on Animal House and goes down. Well, A, he was probably doing tons of blow.
Yeah.
Up leading it to that point.
Probably
and then
true.
B, probably got a Scarface sized pile of coke and was doing it all night. We love to just paint that picture where the guy does a little bump and just has a coronary collapse.
But what's interesting to note is though that everyone accepted that story because it is a possibility.
It's not likely, but it's a possibility.
And if it keeps one person from using the drug, they've succeeded.
That's right.
They stay with pot.
And true. What would A, and I don't know if you can quantify this, but obviously doing you know a pile of cocaine is gonna jack you up, but what if I just drew myself up just a very small line of coke? Would that be the equivalent to four cups of coffee? Does it work that way? Do you know what
I'm
saying?
Does it work that way? It's a totally
is it equivalent
mechanism.
To anything?
It has a completely unique mechanism, and it's in terms of its effect on the organs. That constricting property is unique to cocaine.
Oh, it is?
Absolutely. And in terms of the effect on the brain, it has a specific... It's different than amphetamine. It's different than caffeine. Mm-hmm. Caffeine is an adenosine system. It's totally completely different.
All right.
Now, Dr. Drew, tell me this. What about the things, the agents they cut it with? You don't know when you buy your cocaine on the street.
That's always a concern, but rarely... every addict I know is wanting to blame everything on that. I rarely encounter real problems with anything other than the drugs themselves.
I'd say it's a testament to the pushers and dealers of this
country.
That
they cut it with benign things.
You hear about this all the time. That it's like you got yourself a kilo of coke. You want to stretch it out. You want to step on it, as Christopher talks about off the air. You know, when he sends his assistant to score, he says, do not get the stuff that's been stepped on too many times.
Right.
And you think, all right, well, you want to stretch this kilo out. You want to make it into 3 kilos and make 3 times the money. And you always hear about these, they put rat poison and baby powder or whatever. But
laxative.
But it really, if you think about the the black market drug world, it really says everything you need to know about free enterprise, which is you don't need the government, you don't need regulations, you don't need price fixing, you don't need subsidies, you don't need anything. Here's the deal. If your dealer starts putting rat poison in the coke you buy from, you lose the business immediately. And the dealer realizes, better to make some profit. You know, I don't have to make a killing and literally not have the guy show up, you know, killed, not show up ever
again.
Make
a killing.
I'd rather make 50% and have him show up every week than make 150% and have him, this will be the last time he shows up. Yeah. You know what? Think about it. Yeah. I mean, think about these are essentially criminals and drug addicts, but this is the free, this is the fair market, the free market system just at work. Mm-hmm. Even these people, they don't need any regulations. No OSHA, there's no FDA, there's no anything.
Fundamentals
just,
right
they
there.
They do it right.
Yeah.
They deliver a consistent and arguably safe product, right?
Safe.
I mean, as safe as that product
can be.
Can be.
Yeah.
And consistently. And they know it because they want their customers to return.
I was reading an article today that they were there's some
evidence
that
God bless America.
Black tar heroin may be less likely to cause HIV transmission because it clogs the syringes and causes the addicts to throw them away and use new syringes.
That's why that's always been a black tar fan.
Yeah,
again, Christopher,
been your thing. I know
off the air, spoken freely about this. Freely. Held a goddamn seminar on black tar during the last commercial. I mean, remember that, Drew?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know you were going to mention it on the air.
Yeah, preachy.
That's good. You kind of like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's take ourselves a...
China White, he said, is bad.
Little break. Yeah, yeah, it says some bad stuff going around. He said he's going to get to the bottom of it.
His assistant was.
Christopher McDonald is here tonight. Taking time out of his very busy dealing schedule to come in and be with us tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher McDonald is here. He's not only a great actor, but a great listener. He agrees with almost everything I say.
That makes somebody great, huh?
That makes him a great, great mind. Drew, as you know, there's two types of great minds. There's mine,
yes.
And then there's those who nod their head while I'm talking.
Yes.
That takes a big man. And let me tell you something. Chris is his own man. He's not some shill for the man. He's his own man. He knows when a great idea passes through his ear.
Tonight, many great ideas have crossed his ears.
We could drive across country no problem, Christopher.
No problem.
Me at the wheel. You nodding your head.
Nodding.
Mio, once in a while you doze off. I shoot you an elbow to the rib.
Hey.
You pop up. Oh, it's good to be nodding when you
just a note. There will be no dozing off. He's the one that dozes off. That's when you get your break.
There
otherwise,
is, right.
don't even try.
Yeah. Me
offer to drive.
Me throwing the elbow to Chris. Where do you want to eat? Oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. 100%. That's right. You're the boss.
You're right. You are.
Jesus, I should be writing this down.
Genius, right. I tell you.
All right. Cracking Up is the name of the show. Tuesday nights on Fox. Fox is really doing some interesting programming these days. They sort of just did that sort of Married with Children thing for a long time, and it was like that was sort of what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, a little That 70s Show and some Malcolm in the Middle and some other even stuff that didn't work out. Like, Andy Richter Controls the Universe? Was that
like
a Fox
that.
Show?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, there's some interest. Yeah. Been trying. Yeah, that was a good show that just didn't... Didn't work out, but it was
the
an
rabbit.
Interesting show.
Floppy.
Yeah, Sarah was in that. Yeah. I can't even think of it.
Seth
Green, but you know, in the vein of all those great ones they have, the staples, the Simpsons, the King of the Hill.
Oh,
these
sure.
These are irreverent, really funny, really pushing the limit of comedy. That's what we're trying to do with Cracking Up. So,
Jimmy?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 9 25? O'clock and 9:30 Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah,
that's
right.
What's happening?
Well, I was with my girlfriend for about 2.5 years. And I was, like, nothing but the nicest guy to her and her kids. And she ends up leaving me for her ex-boyfriend.
How many kids does she have?
Excuse me?
How many kids does she have?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what she said.
How many kids does she have?
Oh, she has two. I'm sorry. She has two.
Two kids.
How old is she?
She's 35.
And is this the father of those children?
No, but he was with her when she was pregnant with her youngest.
Say she was 35?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's 35.
It's a good bit older than you. You're 25.
Yeah, I'm 25.
Okay. Here's the thing, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
You dodged a bullet. You really did. That chick's old. She's chaotic. She's a little nutty. She's got chaos in her veins.
I understand, Jimmy. You were the nice guy that was going to rescue her and make everything well, good for her.
Yeah.
And you need to do that, and you're driven to do that. But the reality is she needs chaos, and she needs a guy that is abandoning and a little more abusive than yourself.
Yeah.
And I know that's a hard one for you to swallow, and you can't understand it, and why could she, and he's such an idiot. That's the point. He is an idiot.
Yeah. He's a jerk. That's the point. Who could leave Jimmy with these riveting conversations? Man, the guy's like an auctioneer. I gotta get my scratch pad here, Drew. These pearls of wisdom. Jesus Christ, Jimmy.
You could
drive cross country with me and Christopher.
Perfect.
Let's put you in the back seat. Yeah. No talking though.
All right, man.
Just none.
No, I'm just,
and no radio
know.
Either.
You don't know
I
what.
Seem to, I seem to be with every single girlfriend I've had. She's been older and had kids.
Okay. Okay, listen to me.
What did he say?
He said every girl he's been with has been older and has kids.
Yeah, you have to fix it. You need to fix them.
Yeah.
You need to rescue them.
You're the handyman.
Read my book, Cracked. I wrote about the source of, not to be confused with cracking up, I wrote about the source of the whole rescue impulse, and hopefully that book will speak to you a little bit about that.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Find yourself a nice 23-year-old chick who doesn't have any baggage, who likes you for you. And wants to just have a good time.
I can't see you. All I find is the older ones.
No, that's all you're attracted
that's
to.
That's all you're into. Huh?
You got to not go for things that you find so attractive. Go for things that are a little less exciting.
Yeah. Just regular. Just find some dumb chick who's nice.
That's all I can find. That's all.
All you can find is moms, old moms.
Single moms.
Really? Mm. I never found one of those. I mean, it's an attempt not to find them. It was a conscious attempt. But, I mean, look, they're easy pickings because they're really, let's face it, they got the salvage on their registration. They're wrecks. You know what I mean? You get them cheap. They're easy to get.
Who's going to want me? I'm married.
Married. I got a couple of kids. I got a couple of stretch marks, right. And I got the tattoo of the old man who beat on me, and now he's split. Yeah, it's easy pickings, and that's why they're easy to gobble up. But there's a reason why they got a kid from this guy and a kid from another guy and maybe a kid from a third guy, and none of the dads are in the kids' lives. And just take a look at the past, everybody. Just if you want to know what the future is, take a look at the past. And, Drew, this is why I say we need to bomb Germany.
Because?
Take a look at the past.
Look at the past.
Look at the past. You know those people are gearing up for something as we speak. Listen, look at the past.
I'm looking.
Okay. Let's get them.
Okay.
All right. Faith?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm having a problem getting pregnant.
All right. Why? You're only 22.
Yes.
That seems that's young, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you want to get pregnant so young?
So young. I have a child. She's 4, and she'll be 5 in April.
Ah.
So you had your first child at 17.
16.
Yeah.
And you don't think that's young?
Yeah, I think that's young.
Are you married?
No.
How about marriage? What about getting a partner to help you with these kids?
Her father, I don't really talk to him.
All right.
You know, I was watching some Jane Goodall stuff.
Well, listen, you've learned a valuable lesson.
We really have regressed
a long way since you're pregnant at 16.
We have regressed. So the women they're just a brood, and they just sit there with the kids.
Yeah.
And the guys are out in the brush fighting and
foraging.
Nothing to do with the kids.
Get up on the roof, spread your legs. I got a helicopter that's equipped with a semen sprayer, and we'll just be flying over. That's it.
About noon tomorrow.
About noonish. Yeah. Yeah, it's modified. It's the ones they use, you know, the ones they use on crops. But I filled it with my own seed.
Your own seed? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Mainly, I thought it was potluck.
Mainly mine.
Mostly mine.
Mostly mine.
Like I said, you always did potluck.
I got some little Chris's, and a lot of stuff's come through the mail. Yours, but it's basically my seed.
Good seed, though.
It's been stepped on. With a little baby laxative, and like I said, some Chris and some of the other guests we've had on the show. But it's mainly my seed. You should get a pretty good kid out of it.
All right,
so you'd be up on the roof around noon.
So, Faith, you want to understand why you couldn't, you can no longer get pregnant?
Well, I thought I had, because I had, I didn't get cleaned out when I first had her. I had to have a DNC.
That's nothing.
Cleaned out.
And then it took me, well, actually, I was pregnant. I got pregnant like in last year in March, but I got an abortion.
Josh.
Yeah, I'm gone. Yeah, Phoenix.
Yeah.
16. No dad in the picture. Obviously, we're talking to a Jew.
No, but now I've been.
Hold on. Hold on. You gotta be kidding me. True. We're never wrong. This is. Wow. Hey, listen, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I admit it. You were not bat mitzvahed, Faith?
Huh?
You were not bat mitzvahed?
What's that mean?
Okay. Now
take that as a no.
I'm going to take that as a no.
Point your leg.
All right. So you got pregnant. What happened?
I got an abortion.
All right.
And when was that?
Last year.
Okay.
And have you ever, with the same man you're trying to get pregnant with now?
Yeah.
All right. So you know you can get pregnant with him. And
yeah, but we've been trying and nothing's happened.
Right. Have you had any tubal infections or pelvic problems?
Not that I know of.
So you've never had any sexually transmitted diseases, no endometriosis, no problems with tube function?
I never
had an ectopic pregnancy.
And no to the bat mitzvah?
No.
No, okay.
I think she's kidding. Right. She's kidding.
Have you been to a doctor to check out your
fertility? I've been to a doctor. The last time I've been to a doctor was last year when they checked me down there to make sure everything was okay.
This was after the abortion.
Yeah, make sure everything was fine.
Yeah.
And they said everything was fine to me.
Faith.
Well, here's the deal. One thing is that each time you have an abortion, it does increase the risk of fertility problems. So you may, it's possible something's related to the abortion. It's not likely. You have an atubal infection, but that always is another reason that women can have trouble conceiving. We don't know about your boyfriend. Is he smoking pot or anything?
No, he doesn't do drugs.
Okay. So he's okay. Right. We know he can conceive.
Because he's on probation.
You have conceived before.
What does he do, this guy of yours?
What does he do? He's a night stalker.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
A night stalker stalker?
He kills the elderly in their sleep.
Yeah, night stalker. That's what I thought. It's a good gig. I used to do that.
He's a night stalker.
All right. Does he have a record?
No, he doesn't.
No, he's not been to the joint.
No.
All right.
How old is he?
19.
He's 19?
Okay. Listen, you two brainiacs. How about he gets a gig that's better than putting cans of Dinty Moore on a shelf at 4 a.m., and you guys get a little education, and he gets a couple years under his belt, and you guys get married, and then you crank out another kid.
Oh, Adam, you're so old-fashioned.
How dare
you?
Listen, Faith, I hate to sound like a prick, but what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just,
wouldn't that be a better life? I mean, what about the child? Don't you want to have your own home and have a nice, safe car and be able to provide and have him have a little more of a career?
Tell her your story a little bit so she understands where you're coming from.
But he's like dying for a kid now.
Well, right. He's 19. That means he's an idiot. All right. Okay. Listen. I just hope something like her uterus like fell out last abortion or something, and she can't have any kids.
Give me a little will you?
He's dying for a kid.
I know. 19.
What the hell does that mean? He's stocking shelves. Look, everybody. I know we shouldn't be passing judgment, but we should be passing judgment. Look, stupid 19-year-olds who have menial, horrible jobs should not be cranking out kids. That's it. They got a kid. It's her kid. It should be struggle enough for those two to make ends meet the way it is.
Yep.
And by the way, I don't want anyone who says I had the doctor look down there.
Yeah.
I don't want that. That's not a good mama. Give it a few years, idiots. Jesus, what's wrong with all you a-holes?
Well, give it a bit about, keep the poorness keeping you down.
Hmm?
Yeah, I want to hear that.
The poorness.
What happened to me?
You were poor.
Yeah.
And the how it the keeps you
it
being
sucks.
Keeps you.
My mom was on food stamps and welfare, and it sucked.
But it kept you down, and unless you do something to get yourself out of it, it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, well, because you get behind the eight ball, right. Because you crank out a bunch of kids, and you can barely afford to take care of those kids, and you can never. This is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what it is. Your best friend when you're poor and you're a loser is time. You need to work your crappy job. In this case, the guy needs to stock his shelves all night, and then during the day, he needs to go to some sort of school or trade school
or vocation, something.
He needs to better himself. Now, the problem is when you start having kids, that's out the window. There's no working and coming home and then leaving again. It's all you can do to take care of the kids.
That's right.
And whatever extra money you may be able to put aside for yourself in order to support whatever these vocational training is or college or classes or whatever this is, that money's going in the mouth of the kids. So you never get anywhere. Meanwhile, you've never got anywhere. And ironically, the kids ain't going anywhere either because you don't put the money aside. You can't afford the schooling. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's loser.
Yeah. It's why you have, generations of losers. Just stop it. Here's where it stops. Stop cranking out the kids. And by the way, the impulse at 19 to want a kid is
dying
a guy.
Dying to have a kid. That's weird.
Now you're just stupid. Yeah. So you're sort of doomed. You're doomed.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. You didn't even forget it. It's done.
Yeah.
All right. Just don't kill anybody. All right. And by the way, she's already got one kid with some old man who's not around. Well, let's just say the 19-year-old who's stocking shelves knocks her up. What birthday is the kid make it to before he's moving to Florida, stocking some shelves?
Oh, he'll be great
in
Florida.
Dade County.
Yeah, perfect.
He's already an honorary Floridian. They will do that. They'll deputize losers in other states. Yeah. 19, stocking shelves, trying to knock up your old lady, not married. You're now an official Floridian. You know how Bill Cosby gets all those bogus degrees bestowed on him? Florida should start doing that. And maybe it's like, you got a job. I'm not sure if you're Florida material. I am trying to knock up my girlfriend.
You're in.
Okay, you're in. Okay, very good. Touche. We could take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher McDonald is our guest tonight. Cracking Up is the name of the new show on Fox. It's it's got everything. It's got pedophilia. It's got incest.
it's got Molly Shannon. It's got Jason Schwartzman. Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good.
And Mike White. Yeah.
It is. It'll be after American Idol coming up this week. Okay, let's push forward. We'll talk to. Is it Brianne, Drew?
Yes, Brianne.
Brianne?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah, I'm 22.
What's up?
Well, I had sex with this guy the other night, and I also gave him unprotected oral.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was somebody that I didn't really know that well or anything. And I developed a sore throat, the next day, the morning after.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also breastfeeding a small baby right now.
Oh, boy.
So I'm really concerned if this is a STD, whether it could be transmitted to him or not.
Now, were you breastfeeding at the time you're performing oral?
Yeah.
So you're actually, the baby was suckling at your teat as you're performing oral? Okay.
The phone is out here.
The phone went out. By the way, that's how I got the sample for the helicopter from Christopher.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Brianne, here's the deal. Most likely this is just a viral thing, and of course you could expose your child to that. There definitely are sexually transmitted diseases that can be transmitted to the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Chlamydia, gonorrhea, these things can go to the throat. But you're not likely to transmit it to the child unless your mouth touches the child. That's how you're going to
transmit. It's not going to get in the breast milk probably if it's chlamydia?
No, I don't see how it could.
Cool.
But it's probably not that. It probably is a virus, and that will get into the breast milk. So you got to call your obstetrician about that.
What kind of a virus could
just
it be?
Like a pharyngitis, a sore throat.
Yeah.
It also
what
could
about
be a strep.
Herpes?
Herpes would really be a nasty outbreak, and you'd have lots of white spots back there. And Well, okay. It doesn't usually localize just to the throat.
This kid's
going to
be president, by the way. I can feel it.
Sure.
Brianne?
So should I stop breastfeeding, like, right away?
You I don't know about right away, but you need to talk to your obstetrician about it, okay? Very important. Or your pediatrician, one or the other.
Okay. What's happening? Breastfeeding and blowing strangers? Was he a trick, or?
Yeah, not a good idea, I know.
All right. What's that? Where's the dad? Not around?
He's kind of around. We still live together, but we broke up a while ago.
Yes. All right. But you're still living together?
Yeah.
Well, man, I'll tell you, there's nothing worse. One of the crappers for being poor is you guys got to hang out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you guys break up. It's like you got to live together. You got to, like, share stuff. You don't realize there's nothing like a little space and a big house and a check you can put in the mail when you're trying to break things off. You're poor. You got to hang out. It's horrible. Yeah. All right, Brian. Listen, no more kids, please. Yeah.
Definitely not.
Yes. Good job.
All right, and take it easy there, Mama. You're mommy now.
That's true.
Yeah, mommies don't blow strangers. They don't even blow their husbands. Don't do anything. Take a page from my mom's book. You just lock yourself in a room and you'll freak out. Smoke a little weed. Relax. Wait for that check to come. All right, where are we going here, Joe? Hey, but it's good times.
I mean, it's good times.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's good,
good
times.
Times.
It's good times. Christina?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's happening?
Nothing much. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
My question is, I'm 23 and I'm dating somebody who is 35. And I was wondering if you think that the only reason they're dating me is because they're looking for a trophy wife.
A trophy wife?
Yes.
Do you want to get married?
No.
No.
Did he pop the question?
Most men in their late 30s are looking for somebody to settle down with, so.
Not necessarily. No. Most men that would date a 19 to 24-year-old are looking to have sex with a young person.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
In their sexual prime.
Yes.
He's 34?
Yeah.
Yeah, he may not. Has he been married
34
yet?
34 is a man's sexual prime. Is 34?
No. He means in your sort of reproductive
13
prime.
Yeah.
Is
ours. And then
that sounds more like a fast
free fall from 13.
Yeah, look, he's interested in having sex, period. He's not interested in marriage.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
I mean, I want to speak for him, but I mean, that would be an average.
Let me ask you this. Has he been married before?
He's never been married.
Let me ask him. All right, go ahead, John. This is another hot chick who can't edit herself. But let's talk. I'm going to put her on hold.
You're an editor.
Let me ask this, and I don't really know the answer to this. I said Drew and Christopher this. A 34-year-old guy who's not been married as opposed to a 34-year-old guy who has been married, which one is more likely to get married before 40?
The previously married one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I would have thought, too, even though I don't think a lot of women would know that.
Yeah, a guy that's 34-year-old dating young chicks is not getting married.
No.
He is. He's
no, because he can date young chicks.
Exactly.
And it's weird, too, but 34 is sort of the cusp, because if the guy was 40, he ain't getting married. You know, if he hadn't been married yet.
Right.
This guy's
going to go.
But 34, this guy's going to be, some guys are a little slow. And
I have a lot of friends that are like that, too, who are in their early 40s, never been married.
But that's when they're starting to think about it, early 40s.
They're looking at me and they're going, man, wow, you haven't made a guy. If I just find a girl like that.
But they don't say
that
in their mid-30s. They're like, I wouldn't want to
deal with
that.
Kidding me? They're 40 and they look 35.
They're like, hey, you're stuck with kids.
I don't know, though, but Drew, I'm going to make the opposite argument, which is, and 34 is the cusp, because if the guy's 32, 33, all right, he finished college, he got his graduate degree or something, he's getting his career going, maybe he thought he would be getting married about this time.
Right. I think 32, 33 is the cutoff.
It's more Christina's voice we're reacting to. Christina?
Christina, what do you do for a living?
Pardon me?
Cocktail?
What do you do for a living?
What do I do? I'm a restaurant manager.
This is a flip.
All right. And what does he do?
He does a lot of things. He owns his own company.
What does he do?
I believe it's a consulting firm.
Right, so he doesn't work with you.
He doesn't want to get married. If he doesn't, I'm going to tell you stuff.
Yeah.
consulting firm is a code for dealing weed or in the porno industry or dealing
munitions
or something.
No way.
Just, big time.
The fact that you don't know means he ain't that interested. Okay, that's fine. How long you been going with him?
Not very long.
Okay, thanks for being so specific. Okay, is that a non-question?
Yeah,
who cares? Alicia?
Yes.
You're 18.
I am.
What's up?
I really just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Drew and Adam. I love you guys so much. I was on the air with you guys when you had Rod Schneider in promoting the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And you all told me
that... The animal DVD, by the way, it was recently. Yeah.
Yes. And you all told me to leave my manipulator ex-boyfriend who tried getting back with me after he cheated on me with my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you said that if I had a guy friend around that I should keep him close or whatever. And I've done exactly that. And actually, he asked me to marry him. We're waiting, everything like that, to have kids. And I just want to say thank you guys because I love you guys so much.
No, we love you too. when they let you out of that 55-gallon drum you're calling from, it'll even be better. You guys will be able to get together. And let me just say quickly. I don't want to rain on your parade. You're 18. Watch your rebound.
Take
watch
your
friend thing and make it marriage plans and all this crazy
it's good
stuff.
You're 18. This is good. Sounds good. Just take your time.
Relax.
Yeah,
everyone go home, beat off, and take a nap. That's what you do when you're 18.
The Corolla method.
It keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
All right.
You got plenty.
Takes the edge off.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Christopher McDonald for coming in here tonight.
My entire pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And being a delight. And now I see why he gets all the gigs.
Yes. Agreeable.
It's very agreeable. Hey, I read the script.
Jeez. Loved it.
Loved
it's
it.
Best script I've ever read. I like this guy.
I've been in over 2,600 productions, and this is the best. All right, everyone watch Cracking Up. It is going to be after American Idol next week, whenever
funny.
That is.
Funny stuff.
It is better than funny. We're going to be watching.
All right, good.
All right, so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.